The next day, Leon and Kermit rode out at large, not seeking any particular quarry animal, but ready to take on whatever the day brought forward. "If we found a lion, a big black-maned old male, that would be my dream come true. Not even my father has taken one of those." "You may have to wait until we leave Masailand," Leon told him. "This country's extremely unhealthy for big black-maned lions."
"How's that?" Kermit looked intrigued.
"Every young Morani longs for a chance to kill his lion and prove his manhood. All the Morani of the same circumcision year go out in a war party. They hunt down a lion and surround it. When the lion realizes he cannot escape, he picks one of the men and charges him. The Morani must stand and meet the charge with his shield and assegai. When he kills, he is allowed to make a war bonnet from the mane and wear it with honour. He can also choose any girl in the tribe. The custom thins out the lion population somewhat."
"I reckon I'd take the girl before the fur bonnet," Kermit laughed. "But you have to admire that kind of courage. They're a magnificent people. Look at your man, Manyoro. He moves with all the grace of a panther."
Manyoro was trotting ahead of the horses, but at that moment he pulled up and leaned on his spear, waiting for the horseman to come up. He pointed across the open plain ahead at the huge dark shape that stood on the edge of a clump of bush. It was almost a mile away, its outline insubstantial through the shimmer of heat haze.
"Rhino! From here it looks like a big bull."
Leon fished out of his saddlebags the pair of Carl Zeiss binoculars that Percy had given him in recognition of his promotion from apprentice to fully fledged hunter. He focused the lenses and studied the distant shape.
"It's a rhino, all right, and the biggest one I've ever seen. That horn is unbelievable."
"Bigger than the one my father shot 5 days ago?"
"I'd say much, much bigger."
"I want it," said Kermit vehemently.
"So do I," Leon agreed.
"We'll circle out under the wind and stalk him from those bushes. We should be able to get a clean shot for you from 30 or 40 yards.
"You sound just like Frank Mello. You want me crawling around on my hands and knees or wriggling along on my belly like a rattlesnake. I've had enough of that."
Kermit was already trembling with excitement at the prospect of the hunt.
"I'm going to show you how the old frontiersmen used to hunt bison back out west. Follow me, partner."
With that, he clapped his heels into the flanks of his mare and bounded away across the plain, galloping straight at the distant animal.
"Kermit, wait!" Leon shouted after him. "Don't be a fool!"
But Kermit did not glance back. He drew big medicine from the rifle boot under his knee and brandished it on high.
"Percy's right. You are a wild and reckless rascal," Leon lamented as he urged his own horse in pursuit.
The rhino heard them coming, but his eyesight was so weak that he could not place them immediately. He switched his whole massive body from side to side, kicking up dust and snorting ferociously, peering about with myopic piggy eyes.
"Yee-haw!"
Kermit let out a cowboy yell. Guided by the sound, the rhino focused on the shape of the horse and rider and instantly burst into a charge coming directly at them. Kermit stood high in the stirrups, raised his rifle, and fired from the back of the galloping horse. His first bullet flew high over the rhino's back and kicked up dust from the plain 200 yards behind it. He reloaded with a quick pump of the lever and fired again. Leon heard the meaty thump of the bullet slapping into the beast's body, but could not see where it had hit. The rhino did not even flinch from the shot, but tore in to meet the horse. Kermit's next wild shot missed again, and Leon saw the dust fly between the rhino's front feet. Kermit fired once more, and Leon heard the shot tell on the baggy grey hide. The bull bucked in agony and tossed his horn high, then lowered it to gore the horse as they came together. But Kermit was too quick for him. With the skill of an expert polo player, he used his knees to turn his horse across the line of the charge. Horse and rhino passed each other in opposite directions, and although the latter hooked at Kermit with his long horn, the point flashed a hand's breadth past his knee. At the same time, Kermit leaned out from the saddle and fired with the muzzle almost touching the grey hide between the bull's plunging shoulders. As the rhino received the bullet, he hunched his shoulders and bucked. He swung around to chase after the horse, but now his gait was short and hampered. Bloody froth dribbled from his open mouth. Kermit reined in his horse while he reloaded his rifle, then fired twice more. When the rhino took these last bullets, his body convulsed and he slowed to a walk. The great head hung low, and he staggered unevenly from side to side. Coming up at the gallop, Leon was appalled by the brutal display. It ran contrary to every concept he had of the fair chase and the humane kill. Up to this moment he had been unable to intervene in the butchery for fear of hitting Kermit or his mount, but now his field of fire was clear. The wounded rhino was less than 30 paces away, and Kermit was well out on the flank reloading his rifle. Leon dragged his horse back on its haunches, and it skidded to a halt. He kicked his feet out of the stirrups and sprang to the ground, bringing up the Holland as he landed. He aimed for the point where the rhino's spine joined the skull, and his bullet cleaved the vertebrae like the blade of an executioner's axe. Kermit rode up to the carcass and dismounted. His face was flushed and his eyes sparkled.
"Thanks for your help, partner," he laughed. "Ha! By God, that was really exciting. How did you like the Wild West style of hunting? Grand, isn't it?"
He showed not the least guilt or remorse for what had just happened.
Leon had to take a breath to keep his temper. "It was wild, I'll give you that. I'm not so sure about the grand bit," he said, his voice level. "I dropped my hat."
He swung up into his saddle and rode back for it.
"What do I do now?" he wondered. "Do I have a showdown with him? Do I tell him to find himself another hunter?"
He saw the hat on the ground ahead, rode up to it and dismounted. He picked it up and dusted it against his leg. Then he jammed it on his head.
"Be sensible, Courtney. If you walk away, you're finished. You might as well go back to Egypt and take the job with your father."
He mounted up and rode slowly back to where Kermit stood beside the dead rhino, stroking the long black horn. He looked up at Leon as he dismounted, his expression thoughtful.
"Something bothering you?" he asked quietly.
"I was worrying about how the President's going to feel when he sees that horn. It must be damn nigh 5 feet long. I hope he won't turn bright green."
Leon succeeded in keeping his smile natural. He knew those words were a perfect peace offering. Kermit relaxed visibly.
"That colour might suit him well enough. I can't wait to show it to him."
Leon glanced up at the sun.
"It's late. We won't be able to get back to the main camp this evening. We'll stay here tonight."
Ishmael had been following them on one mule and leading another, which carried the cooking pots and other necessities. As soon as he came up, he set about putting together a rudimentary fly camp. Before it was fully dark, he brought their dinner to them. They leaned back against their saddles with the enamel plates balanced on their laps and tucked into the yellow rice and tommy buck stew.
"Ishmael's a magician," Kermit said, his mouth full. "I've had worse grub at restaurants in New York City. Tell him that, will you?"
Ishmael acknowledged the compliment gravely. Leon scraped his plate clean and put the last spoonful into his mouth. Still chewing, he reached into his saddlebag and brought out a bottle. He showed the label to Kermit.
"Boona Harbin's single malt whiskey," Kermit smiled happily. "Where on earth did you find that?"
"Compliments of Percy, although he's unaware of his own generosity."
"My God, Courtney, it's you who's the real magician."
Leon poured a dram into their enamel mugs, and they sipped, sighing with pleasure.
"Let's suppose for the moment that I am your fairy godmother," Leon suggested, "and that I can grant you any wish. What would it be?"
"Apart from a beautiful and willing girl?"
"Apart from that,"
they both chuckled, and Kermit pondered for only a few seconds.
"How big was that elephant my father got a few days ago?"
94 and 98. Didn't quite make the magic number of 100.
"I want to do better."
"You worry a lot about doing better than him. Is this meant to be a competition?"
"My father has always succeeded in everything he turns his hand to. Hell, he was a war hero, a state governor, a hunter and sportsman before he turned 40. And as if that weren't enough, he became the youngest and most successful president of America ever. He respects winners and despises losers."
He took a sip.
"From what you've told me, you and I have lived through the same situation. You should understand."
You think your father despises you?
No, he loves me, but he doesn't respect me. I want his respect more than anything else in the world.
You've just taken a bigger rhino than he has. They looked across at the enormous carcass, the horn glinting in the firelight.
That's a start, Kermit nodded. However, knowing my father, he'd put much more value on an elephant or a lion. Find one of those for me, fairy godmother.
Manyoro was sitting at the other fire with Ishmael, and Leon called across to him.
Come to me, my brother. There's something of importance we must discuss.
Manyoro got up and came to squat across the fire from him.
We need to find a big elephant for this Bwana.
We have given him a Swahili name, Manyoro said. We have named him Bwana Popuhima.
Leon laughed.
What's so funny? Kermit asked.
You've been honored, Leon told him. Manyoro at least respects you. He has given you a Swahili name.
What is it? Kermit demanded.
Bwana Popuhima.
That sounds disgusting, Kermit said, suspicious.
It means Sir Quick Bullet.
Popuhima, eh? Tell him I like that.
Kermit was pleased.
Why did they choose that name?
They're very impressed by the way you shoot, Leon turned back to Manyoro.
Bwana Popuhima wants a very big elephant.
Every white man wants a very big elephant, but we must go to Lonsonyo Mountain to seek the counsel of our mother.
Kermit, the advice I have from Manyoro is that we go to a Maasai lady witch doctor on a mountaintop. She will tell us where to find your elephant.
Do you really believe in that sort of thing? Kermit asked.
Yes, I do.
Well, it just so happens that so do I, Kermit nodded seriously. In the hills to the north of our ranch in the Badlands of Dakota, there lives an old Indian shaman. I never hunt without going to see him first. Every real hunter has his little superstitions, even my father, who's the hardest-nosed guy you'll ever meet. He always carries a rabbit's foot when he goes out into the field.
It pays to give Lady Luck a wink and a nod, Leon agreed.
This lady I am taking you to meet is her twin sister. She's also my adopted mother.
Then I reckon we can trust her. When can we leave?
We're more than 20 miles from the main camp. We'll lose a couple of days if we take the rhino head back there first.
I plan to cache it here, and Manyoro will pick it up later. That way we can leave at once for the mountain.
How far?
2 days if we push along.
The next morning they hoisted the rhino head into the high branches of a pod mahogany tree and wedged it in a fork where it was well out of the reach of hyenas and other scavengers. Then they headed east and camped only when it was too dark to see the ground ahead. Leon did not want to risk one of the horses breaking a leg in an antbear hole. During the night he woke and lay for a minute listening for what had disturbed him. One of the horses whickered and stamped.
Lions, he thought. After the horses.
He threw off his blanket and reached for his rifle as he sat up. Then he saw an alien figure sitting at the smouldering ashes of the fire. It was shrouded in an ochre-red shuka.
"Who is it?" he demanded. "It is me, Loikot. I have come."
He stood up and Leon recognized him at once, although he was several inches taller than he had been when they had last met only 6 months before. In the same period his voice had broken, and he had become fully a man.
"How did you find us, Loikot?" "Lucima Mama told me where you were. She sent me to welcome you."
Their voices had roused Kermit. He sat up and asked sleepily,
"What's going on? Who's the skinny kid?"
"He's a messenger from the lady we're going to visit. She sent him to find us and bring us to the mountain."
"How the hell did she know we were on our way? We didn't know ourselves until last night." "Wake up, Bwana Popuhima. Think about it. The lady is a sorcerer. She keeps her eye on the road and her foot on the gas. You wouldn't want to play poker with her."